I'm excited to get to share this message with you today. This message and the message next week kind of go together, kind of a two-part deal. To be real honest with you, I feel like they're very pivotal for our church. I don't get up in front of our church and say that very often. That's not something that I cling to a whole lot and say, hey, you know, today's deal is going to be, you know, one of those things. But I really believe that these are pivotal moments for our church and where God is leading us. And we're going to start some stuff today that we're not even going to finish today. And we'll talk about more of it next week. And technically, I'm going to re-preach the same scripture next week. But I think that when it all comes out in the end, it'll make a lot of sense and hopefully be something that can challenge all of us. The passage that we're reading from today is out of the book of Acts in chapter 2. And of course, we're reading through the book of Acts and studying that right now. And I got to tell you, there's no way of like, some guys are really good at like lining up like every message they're going to preach for the next 5 years and all that stuff. I'm not that guy. So especially when we're teaching through a book like this, I love doing that. One of the reasons I love doing that is because as the scripture comes and as I get to teach just what is next in the scripture, teaching expository like that, there's just something about God having his own timing when he wants us to discover some of these things and reveal some things to us. And I believe that that's true for us today with this scripture. One of the things that I guess is really kind of heavy on our heart is we're really what the church is, what people think of as the church. And I bring that up just to say that'll go on in some of this discussion today, some next week, and ongoing. But our conviction, the conviction of the pastors here at 24, is one that in general that a lot of people have an idea that church is one thing, and church is really, that's just one piece of what the church is. It's not just the one thing. That church is this, we go to church on Sunday morning, that's church. That's our church. That's what we do. That is a part of the church, but that is not all of the church. In fact, it's a portion, and maybe not even the largest portion. But it is a large portion of what the church is. And so as we study through this passage, and especially next week, we're going to unpack some stuff that I think is going to challenge all of us in who we are and whether or not we are really being the church or whether or not we're being Sunday morning Christians. For us, I think that it's important to ask questions like, you know, what do we not want to be when it comes to our faith and who God's called us to be, and if you're like me, I want to do 100%. You know, I want to follow Jesus, and for a lot of us, I think, you know, the last thing that we would want to be is a hypocrite. I talk with people that don't know Christ, they're not believers, don't go to church. I like to ask the question, why don't you believe, or why don't you go to the church? Why don't you go to church? And typically, one of the answers that I hear a lot is because the church is full of hypocrites. And it's a great conversation to be had, because I have that conversation with them, and generally I say, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. The church is full of hypocrites. And I generally will say, you know what, I'm one of those people. And of course, they kind of look at you weird, like, you know, what? Like, you would admit to that. And it's this great opportunity for us to share, you know, we're sinners. We're saved by the grace, the blood of Jesus, mercy of God, that he's forgiven us, and that Christ himself has taken the death that we deserve for our sin. We're hypocrites. We're going to sin. We're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. But at the end of the day, where we don't want to be is we don't want to be the hypocrite who basically is not pursuing the mission of God. We want to be on mission with God, and if God has called us to something, we want to be all in. We're going to talk about that today. This passage of scripture that we talk about today brings up this question: what motivates you? What motivates you? What is motivating for you? Is there anything, you know, that motivates you to exercise, motivates you to do this, do that? I had a shot of motivation this week. Surprise, surprise, it had something to do with a car. And I know I've talked about this just recently, where you know I'm in this moment where I'm wanting to basically I've got a good bit invested in a bunch of machines that I have fixed and sold over the years, and I want to basically sell off these machines, and I want to reallocate my money into a muscle car where I feel like my investment would be more protected and I can enjoy it better, you know. And so I've been strategizing like all this stuff. And so this week I actually went and looked at a car. You know, I went and looked at this car on Tuesday with my dad. I took my dad and a friend of his. He was with him, and just happened to run by his office, and he was there and said, "Hey, why don't you go look at this car with me?" Yeah, I know Sam looks like an idiot. So just pointed out. Thanks for walking in church. Good to see you guys. Glad to have you all here. Thanks, Sam. Because, people in the back over there, like, they're like, you see that? Yeah. So just wave. We'll talk about that at the end of the service, I'm sure. And we can edit this out of the podcast. So Tuesday I go look at this car with my dad. And it is like the closest thing to the spitting image of the car that I had when I was 20 years old that we used to run around in. And my boy Josh over here, he had a CUDA and I had a Fastback Mustang, and we used to run around like we were the Dukes of Hazzard. And it was awesome. And so I've been pining after owning one of these cars again forever. And so I go look at this car, and I've been fairly motivated to, like, you know, sell the stuff and try to, you know, get the money together, but, you know, not quite motivated enough. And I go and we see the car, and the car looks unbelievable. And I'll just go ahead and fast forward to the end. The family decided not to sell the car at the last minute, right as we were making a deal, which, whatever. When I saw the car, the car was unbelievable. I was like, man, this is a nice, nice car. But when the guy started the car, something happened. And ladies, there's no way most of you are not going to understand this. The closest thing that I know to you maybe understanding this is, I don't know, maybe like, you know, when you're watching the end of My Best Friend's Wedding or Notting Hill or, you know, some other movie like The Such. I don't know. That seems to be for my wife. But the deal is this, that when he started the car, I felt part of me just melt. I mean, it was unbelievable. I have heard a lot of cars, and you know, I've heard a lot of cars, but this car sounded unbelievable. And I was like, that's my car. I want that car, you know? And so, you know, of course, I'm playing like game face, like I'm just like, yeah, well, you know, I don't know about this. You know, the seat looks kind of weird in it, you know, and stuff like that, you know. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, I walked away recognizing, man, I have got to sell this stuff so I can get me a car. You know, like, the biggest motivator happened to me Tuesday to, like, get rid of stuff. Like, I've been, you know, I'm just like, I got to get this done. You know, and I think for us, I think we have motivators in our lives that we respond to. You know what I'm saying? Like certain things happen in life and we respond to those things. Sometimes they're like not great moments in our lives. Like we can look back and look at moments in our life where like, man, like it almost all went downhill right there. But God used those moments sometimes for us to be motivators to catapult us toward recognizing who God is and us being in awe of Him. I was in awe on Tuesday, as silly as it sounds. I was in awe. And the truth is that we are in awe of something all the time. You and I were created to worship. I don't know if you realize that or not, but God made us where we are worshiping something all the time. The truth is He made us that way that we would worship Him. That He would be what our awe is about. That He would be like the single thing that, you know, would drive us, would motivate us because of the great things that He's done. The passage of Scripture that we're reading today, we see that happen with these people. They are in awe. And so this morning, I ask you the question, what motivates you? What motivates your worship, your response to God? Acts 2, verse 41, we pick up from where we've been studying here in the last several weeks. And in this passage of Scripture, we see, you know, I think you've got to take into context, and I don't want to hash out the whole thing, but basically these folks have been hanging out with Jesus. They saw him get killed. They saw him come back from the dead. He taught them great things during that time while he was back from the dead before he went to be with the Father. Then he tells them, you guys go and wait on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you guys. That happens. It's crazy. There's fire. There's sounds of wind. I mean, there's all kinds of just crazy stuff. God speaks through people in other languages that they didn't know so that other people of other nationalities could hear the gospel. And then you go even further than that, and then God uses Peter to share this message that takes up a large chunk of chapter 2 in the book of Acts, where we end on in verse 41, and truthfully, Peter probably didn't know if they would kill him or not for sharing this message, but he shares it, and he does so, and from doing so, God uses it, and in verse 41 it says this, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." 3,000 souls. That's a heck of a tent revival right there. That's some crazy stuff going on. 3,000 people received Jesus. Find forgiveness. If you've got your Bible, I want you to turn. We're going to Acts 2, verse 42. And if you don't have a Bible, throw your hand up. These guys in the back will throw one at you or give you one, even if you just left it in the car or something. Let them give you one, because I want you to be able to follow along with this. Acts 2, verse 42. If you don't have a Bible, by the way, we want to give you that one. Consider it a gift. Acts 2, verse 42 continues with this, and it says this. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Now, I love this picture. I love what they're doing. You know, we've already seen them doing this, but they're continuing to do it. You know, I think for some of us, you know, we might do something like that for a moment, but then, like, you know, when the moment's over, we're like, you know, let's just, you know, I'm kind of tired of that. Let's just go do something else different. You know, they went. Jesus sent them back to Jerusalem, said, "Wait on the Holy Spirit." Instead of like saying, go on out and tell everybody about what's going on, he said, "Go and wait for the Holy Spirit." They do the exact same thing that they're doing right here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread, and they pray together. And they're doing it again right here after they have just seen 3,000 people saved. I mean, that's a huge deal. They're responding to seeing God do great things. Let me ask you a question. Do you see God do great things? Have you seen God do great things? Because I'm just a little afraid that for many of us, that if we're not careful, we go, "Well, yeah, they saw Jesus, and they saw him get killed, and then he rose from the dead, and then he did the thing up to heaven, you know, all this stuff, and then they saw the Holy Spirit come down, and the fire, and the wind, and all this stuff, you know, that how could they not say that they didn't see God do something amazing? They met Jesus." Let me ask you a question. Have you met Jesus? For us to recognize the large thing that it is, the huge thing that it is, that you and I can meet Jesus despite ourselves, is a big deal. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you think about that for just a second. Think about what it means for us to know Christ, for us to have a relationship with Him, for us to have been saved by Him. They came back together, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. They had community with one another. They understood the importance of being together with one another. This is a theme throughout the book of Acts, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They seek God together. And in verse 43, it says this, "And awe came upon every soul." Awe came upon every soul. And so I'm left to ask the question, where is our awe? do we look upon what God has done with awe? I mean, like, are we blown away? I mean, like, you know, because, like, we're the generation that, like, we're just waiting for, like, the next comic book character movie to come out constantly, right? You know, I saw Spider-Man this week, Dark Knight's in a couple weeks. Rock on for the Dark Knight, okay? You know, but I mean, really, I mean, like, we're waiting for, like, the next most amazing effect that somebody can pull off on screen, and at the end of the day, just so that we can walk out of the theater and go, that was pretty good. Because what else are we doing with that, really? I mean, you know, I mean, that's as good as we can go with that. You know, it's like, I mean, yeah, we can go collect all the figures, geeks. But no, I'm just kidding. I have some figures. Okay, I have some Transformers in my office. You don't believe me? But yeah, and so you know, I think for us, but you know, for us to ask the question, where is our awe? And for us to recognize, we're watching right now God do amazing things. We've seen God do amazing things. Here's a little bulletin for you. You're sitting in a warehouse in Pleasant View. Think about that. You're sitting in a warehouse in Pleasant View. That's weird. Okay? That's a little weird, you know? We're not sitting here because of us. We're sitting here because of Him. We're sitting here because of things He has done. I think for us to take timeouts and just call it and just be like, look at what God has done is important for us to do. Not for us to toot the horn of a church name or a single person or a group of people, but for us to go, look at what He has done. He deserves the glory. Right? He deserves the glory. He deserves for those stories to be told to other people in such a way that it never feels like we're tooting our own horn, but that other people go, wow, God must be real. And if we're not careful, we differentiate ourselves from Scripture like this and saying, excuse me, and saying that, you know, well, stuff like that doesn't happen anymore. What are you talking about? We've watched God save people. We've seen untold amounts of people this year alone come to Christ, receive Him as their Savior, be baptized right here. If you don't think God is at work, you're not paying attention. I've seen situations that, quite honestly, I myself have begun to find myself hopeless in whether or not God would rescue these people from themselves, and God still reach down and still do a work in their hearts and still pull them back to Him. When I thought that they had told Him no so many times, this is never going to happen. These folks were in awe. It says, and awe came upon every soul. But then what? They weren't just in awe. They weren't just standing around like a bunch of zombies and just like, oh, let's just do this forever. You know, we'll just stand here and like, oh, that's awesome. God, you're great. No. They go on mission. And it says this, and it says, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Their response to recognizing how good and how great God is was they responded by making themselves available to be used by God for His kingdom and not their own. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And in verse 44, and it says this, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. Can you imagine having all things in common with the people you live with in your house, much less everybody that you know? Think about that for just like a half a second. Any of you have a teenager living in your house? You won't speak to this? all things in common. God can do amazing things. And we're going to talk, we'll talk about that more next week. And in verse 45, it goes on, it says, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. You know, when you tell your friends, you're like leaving them and stuff, and you're like, hey, we'll see you later. And you go, hey, you call me if you need anything. You know that? How far are you really willing to go with that? How far are you willing to go? If they really, really, really need something that's going to put you out, not for the day, but for life, are you going to do that? We'll examine that more next week too. Verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together. Again, this is their response to them being in awe. Like they've recognized how great God is and what he's done, and they're responding in these ways. In verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. They worshiped together. They gathered in one another's homes, and they ate, and they were thankful for it. They recognized that God had provided for them, is the way it's speaking of it. And in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. Having favor with all the people. How many people do we not have favor with? How many people have we come against at some point? They wouldn't have anything to do with us today. I'm saying we got to make everybody happy, but this is talking about something that God was doing so that they could in turn speak the gospel into others' lives. And it goes on here. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I want to go to that church. Do you want to go to that church? I want to go to that church. I want to be that church. God is leading us to be that church. And that's why this week and next week, these messages, I think, are going to be very pivotal for us to where this church is going in the future. God is calling us and leading us and has been leading us for some time that we wouldn't be a church that's just a whole bunch of people that get together on Sunday mornings, but that we would be these people that are invested in one another's lives, breaking bread together, selling stuff and giving away as somebody may have need for it. They were faithful to the mission of God. You know what that translates out to be sometimes? In this world, crazy. Crazy. Let me ask you a question. Anybody in here got some crazy in their family? Just, no, never mind. Don't do that. It'll get some people in trouble. Yeah, I don't want to get you in trouble. You know what I'm talking about, though? We got crazy in our family. I got some crazy in my family, okay? I'm with you. I've got crazy in my family. I'll introduce you to her sometime. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. Yeah, no, I am. No, never mind. Forget it. I'm in sin right now. I confess it. it's a different type of crazy. You know, I think if we're not careful, you know, we hear that word crazy, and we think about that kind of crazy. And the truth is, this kind of crazy is something where we see in Scripture that we are called to be set apart and to look differently than everybody else. You know, that's this whole thing. Here's the beautiful thing about that. The beautiful thing about that is that this might as well be like the pinnacle of what that could look like. That we would be willing to love everyone, accept anyone into our home, feed them the food out of our refrigerator. You see, that looks crazy in this world. But that's who Jesus lived and died and defeated death and rose from the grave for us to be. That's who he wants us to be. And here's why. Because when we are that, we are him to other people. they were faithful to the mission of God. Peter didn't know whether or not what would happen at the end of him preaching the message that he preached. He wasn't preaching to a church. It's easy for me to come on Sunday mornings and preach to people that are expecting to hear the gospel. Not so easy to go wherever he was, I'm guessing in the middle of town somewhere, where at least 3,000 people could listen to him and hear what he was saying. And we know more than that because we know that some of them scoffed. But I'm just thinking, you know, you go out in the middle of something like that and you start throwing stuff out there like you've been in sin and you've gotten a couple things wrong and Jesus is really the way. And guess what? You might get killed. And yet Peter did what he was led to do, and he fulfilled that mission. And because of doing so, 3,000 were added that day. So then they see God work, and it puts them in awe again. You know, already they were in awe and responding to what they had seen God do by preaching the gospel and living that out. And then we see the 3,000 come. Well, then they're put back in awe again because they're like, you know, God's at work again. How amazing this is. And then beyond that, they respond again. Instead of going, man, we've had a good week. Let's just call it quits for the day, you know? Let's just go home. No, they respond. And their response isn't for a moment. It's not for an hour and a half on Sunday. It's not for a week at camp. Their response is for their lives. And their lives are things like all things together in common, selling possessions, distributing to those in need, daily attending the temple, breaking bread in homes and eating thankfully together, praising God and having favor with everyone. That's life. That's not like moments in life. That's life. That's what we're called to. That, my friends, is the church. That's the church. Did you hear that? It's not Sunday morning. Sunday morning is a time for us to gather together and celebrate who God is. And we walk away being reminded of how awesome He is, and we should walk away in awe, and our response to the awe should be living the life of Jesus. That's the church. That's what we're called to. And I'm afraid that we've made a mistake in making the church a Sunday morning meeting. Or a show, even for some. They just come and sit back and it's just a show. They're not really engaging God. They're not really worshiping Him, thinking of it. It's just a show. That's not why we do any of this, just so you know. And if we're not careful, we quit taking moments to recognize what God has done. And we do a couple of things. And I think the biggest thing that we do there that I hate is that we quit pointing to God and giving Him credit for what He deserves. You see, to be in awe of God is to be in awe of something that He's done, because it's something that you and I can't do. It's only something He can do. God added people to their number every day, it says. I gotta believe that's because these folks weren't living from Sunday to Sunday. These folks were living a life. They were the real deal. Remember, we talked early on, we don't want to be what? We don't want to be hypocrites, right? We want to be the real deal. If we're going to be the real deal, then that means we got to go all in. Means we can't hold like some chips back and be like, well, I've got this over here, and God you can't have this right now because I really like this in my life right now, so I'm going to hold on to this. But you can have all this over here. That's not the real deal. That's the hypocrite. That's the reason that people don't come to church. That's the reason that people don't believe in Jesus. That's the reason, quite honestly, that you're probably miserable. That's the reason that you can't find peace and you can't find joy, because what you're holding back over here usually is some sin that you're trying to find some joy and happiness in. And let's just face it, that sin is causing death and destruction in your life. And it's not bringing you but just simple moments of joy and happiness. It's not bringing you the real thing. Because the real thing only comes in Jesus. God deserves the praise for what He's done. He's done a lot. He's done a lot right here. And to be honest with you, I didn't know any other better way to help illustrate it than to show a video that we showed at the very beginning of this year. And I asked Jerry to pull it, and it's one that he made that has bits and pieces over the last 7.5 years of what we've been through. And if nothing else, it is a reminder. It is not to toot our horn. It is a reminder of what God has done, because I'm here to tell you, we can't do this. That was from the first Sunday. We can't say that we haven't seen God work. We can't say that we're not watching Him do so right now. The fact that we're sitting here, that I'm standing here, is proof of that. Some of you have stories that you could attest to what God has done in your life, and it's nothing short of a miracle, because it is a miracle. And that's the point. Sometimes God is going to show out. And honestly, my biggest prayers for our church is that He would continue to show out in ways that we cannot take the credit for it. So that He is the only one that gets it. And He gets the glory. And He is made famous. That His kingdom would come and His will be done in the gospel going out. There were, Jerry said that we have on video at least 20 more people that were baptized this year. Not in that video. That video was made at the beginning of the year. And then we had several spontaneous baptisms, if you've been around for any of that, that even he's not fast enough with a camera to capture. On top of that, and this is not us tooting our horn, this is stuff God has done, and I want Him to get the glory for it. Last weekend, we fed over 600 people here from our community. We've watched countless people come to Christ and be baptized just this year alone. We've watched God heal marriages despite horrific sin. We've watched others be drawn to the mission of 24, even to the point of leaving, moving here from other states. That happened this week. I got one of those phone calls this week that someone said, I feel led to leave my job and move there and be a part of what God is doing, that I'm supposed to be a part of what's going to be happening in the future. We've watched as God has guided us through Scripture that has convicted us all. We've watched Him as He's provided for us through the tithes and the offerings that people give on Sunday mornings. In the last couple of weeks, our kids, not our teenagers, but our kids, we had 45 kids go to camp in the last 2 weeks. We have approximately 50 students that are going to camp today. You combine that together, and that's more people than we had at the first service. We've watched willing people serve, clean this building faithfully, never getting paid a dime, just wanting to serve the church and serve you sitting here right now. Some yesterday that came up here, yesterday, just to deep clean all the toys in all of our preschool rooms to try to ensure that bacteria and germs were killed from sickness. Watched others give up their homes to others, allow them to live there, allow them to eat their food. I've watched other people give cars to people in need, money, food. I've watched people show grace to people that don't deserve it because Jesus did that for them first. I've watched a deacon body raise up within this church that even I, as the dreamer, could never dream. Such an awesome group of people that love God and just love to serve. God is continuing to work here and speak to us in moving. In fact, I had a pastor friend of mine recently tell me, he said, Chris, ever since the very first day of 24 Church, I feel like here, even 7.5 years later, you guys have always been in some type of constant transition. And I said, yeah, I think you're right. He said, why in the world is that? And I said this, I really believe that God wants to continually change us and who we are, that we would never grow old of being on mission for Him. And for that, again, He gets the glory. That He would even still today, 7.5 years later, continue to convict our hearts and help lead us in direction to bring us back to being in awe of Him. Being in awe of Him is something that should motivate us to do the mission that He's called us to. And Scripture teaches us a little more about awe, and I want to read Psalm 33:8, and it says this. It says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Isaiah 29:23. For when He sees His children, the work of My hands in His midst, they will sanctify My name. They will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. Matthew 27. The moment that Jesus died on the cross. 27:54 says this, when the centurion and those who were with Him keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Worship isn't just singing. It's not just reading God's word. Worship is what we do with our lives. Every moment of it. Maybe you're here today and maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've just gone to church some. Or maybe you thought you did and now you're wondering if you really do. Because this, my friends, this is about a relationship. This isn't about being religious. It's not about good attendance on Sunday mornings. This is about a relationship with God in which He changes us because of what He allowed to happen with His Son, Jesus. Jesus came and lived a perfect life to be the perfect sacrificial lamb, to be offered up as a sacrifice for my sin and your sin, that we might be able to know God and have a relationship with Him and be adopted as sons and daughters. Maybe today is the day that you come to the family. For those of us that are already in it, may we be convicted, that we be in awe of the great things that God has done, that it might motivate us to mission, but that He also would get the glory for what He deserves and what He has done. Let's pray together.